Now keep going, keep typing. Let it ride. Oh, let it ride. There it is. Clickety clack. Clickety clack. Clack, clack. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, and you know what that means. It's time for an all-new Podzilla After Dark right here on Podzilla 1985, the show where we drink and curse. Fuck! My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me tonight, of course, back! He was gone for a week. No draft this week. Diablo shut down. Jesse Kimble.
Hi. All right, I got to go play some Diablo. I'll see y'all later.
You missed a stunner, is what you did. Last week, fantastic. We talked about our five favorite TV episodes.
And I had my episodes, like I was actually planning on doing it, but then between like the new Diablo ladder, or the first Diablo ladder in the NFL draft, I was like, I gotta.
Did you know that
take a break.
Did you know that Diablo is a 22-year-old game?
It's really unfortunate that I know that. Though nothing makes me feel as old as going to those stupid Smash tournaments at this point.
And seeing, because, seeing all the people laying behind the counter under blankets.
No, that's not even the worst of it. I said do it to it to a kid this past weekend, and he looked at me like I was a fucking alien from outer space. And then I just hear Remy from behind the counter like, yeah, we're old, Jesse. I'm like,
You should have told that kid no cap. That's ass cheese.
That's ass cheeks, bro. No cap.
No cap. Also with us tonight, Lindsay Wolfgang.
I got a new monkey lizard plushie.
No. Keep it a secret. No, hold on. No, don't do it yet. No, that's coming up later. No, we didn't hear it.
Late.
No, Shelby's with us tonight.
Hello.
From Merle Haggard's dungeon, the man himself eating, Tanner Calvert.
I'm eating golden puffs.
He's eating golden puffs. Also with us tonight, Double H.
I have seen Doctor Strange, and I will spoil it. That is a threat.
Yes!
I know where you live.
And there goes
Tanner. Tanner's out.
So. He will drive three times before finding your driveway, though.
I'll know when somebody throws a soda at my car. Right.
I just gotta wait until it gets dark, and then Jesse will never find me. House goes into stealth mode.
Speaking of, I think where they hit the car with the soda, it's peeling the like finish off my car.
Damn, so they hit you with like alien acid.
My God.
Yeah. There's just like a ring of where it's coming off.
Hey, speaking of aliens, it's May the 5th, which is Revenge of the 5th, which is a Star Wars reference, and tonight we're gonna be talking about Star Wars.
That was supposed to be Revenge of the 6th.
It's both tomorrow. Because they come in twos.
That's a good point. They actually got us there. No. Yeah,
they do come in twos. That is the zone that they live in.
But Hunter, that's which one?
They,
which
they
one
come in twos?
Which
anyway.
One's the apprentice and which one's the master?
Whichever one makes it snappy.
Oh yeah, yeah. The cum blasting. Later tonight we have an exclusive interview. Since it is Star Wars Day, it's part two of Star Wars Day, we have an exclusive interview. I got a special guest coming on later tonight. A genuine lizard monkey lizard, will be here to talk with us about his experiences.
Lindsay spoiled it.
She did. She fucked it up. I should have told her beforehand. I meant to tell her beforehand. I was like, we still can't hear the little fucker. Sorry. Here, bring him downstairs. Let me have him. He'll scream into my mic. We are going to be talking about our five favorite Star Wars moments, and because it's so hard to decide these are not actually like the only favorites. These are just five of our favorites. So no pressure. No pressure. No cap.
Mm-hmm.
Ass cheeks. All right. She's coming. She's coming to the cum zone.
Very noisy. Also, looking up my favorites, I realized I do have a favorite Star Wars.
Hold on. Movie. Lindsay's breaking down. Hold on.
Let's see if that thing will actually pick up. It did not.
You were too quiet, you little monkey lizard.
I think, honestly, it's just like, it's like when she uses her like high-pitched laugh, or when Lindsay laughs at all, and wait, it just, the mic just does not pick it up.
What if I'm talking at the same time? Let's give it a try. Hello, monkey lizard. How are you doing today?
Yeah, that did it.
That works.
All right. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, I'm still.
It's still very.
It makes me kind of sad that it doesn't pick it up.
So when you play it, you just have to go to the mic and go,
So when you give that thing to make noise, it makes my camera freeze.
Yeah, you're frozen. You're smiling. Oh. You look so happy.
As soon as it happened, it did it.
Shelby's hitting you with that look of contempt right now.
Tanner, I don't know what the reflection is on your face right now, but it very much looks like you are crying mustard. Am I the only one seeing the yellow streaking down his cheeks?
I see it now.
What is happening? It's not something on your face, man. It's just
the lighting.
The lighting is weird.
But Hunter, that brings us to one of our favorite segments here on Podzilla After Dark. It's what's Tanner eating? Tanner, what are you eating tonight?
Honey Golden Smacks. Puffs, he said it. It's
Honey Smacks.
Okay. I thought you did the thing where you eat cereal, but you have too much milk left over, and so you just pour more cereal into the milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's how you eat cereal. Yeah.
The milk is already warmed up for you.
Yeah. You don't want to waste the milk.
She'll be full on shutter computer down.
I don't know what happened.
All right. Well, I'm not starting over.
It sounds like she's shouting from the voice of, like, the ghost of her computer. I don't know what happened.
I don't want to be on a computer.
All right, she's back.
Hunter, I need you to know that I spent most of the day today watching Seinfeld's The Voice.
Hello. Yes.
Hello. La, la, la.
Well, episode. Okay. I blanked for a second.
Spanish.
My bad.
Oh my. Hello.
Oh, I worked out.
Hey, she's
Jerry,
back.
Buddy, I got to tell you, that voice is played out.
But it was later recycled and became one of Tyler Perry's favorite bits. Hello.
It's true. Hello.
Ace
and I wrote a whole new Seinfeld episode yesterday.
I saw that. It was on Reddit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't track on there as hard as I was hoping that it would, but, like, he just made a random Seinfeld reference, and I was like, yeah, no, that would work. And then the next thing you knew, we just figured out how the rest of that episode would go about NFTs.
In fairness, it's because a lot of Redditors are pro-NFT, and, like...
I'm going to counter that. I don't necessarily think that's why, because I'm on that subreddit a lot. I think it's because that is it's kind of an unwritten rule that, to be fair, we went a little hard on, like, one thing. No Seinfeld episode usually deals with one thing. They might all be in the same, like, area. They might all, like, you know, all in a car park or they're all in a Mexican restaurant or something. Or no, it's a Chinese restaurant. But they usually, the characters are doing different things. We very much made every character like, this is all NFT related.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But my question in relation to that is, what is an NFT?
It's a non-fungible token, Shannon. That means it's a token that cannot be funged.
I thought the monkeys got funged or something.
What is funging?
Yeah, they were getting, well, be careful where you look that up. Because it very much sounds. Which version of Chrome are you using right now? log out first.
Go incognito. You don't want to be a victim of the algorithm.
Yeah.
The bored apes. Yeah, they were stolen. People stole them, and they did that by hacking into Instagram instead of just, you know, right clicking on them and then going, no, it's my monkey now. I have the monkey.
I don't understand this, but I think I did read that Square Enix crashed the NFT market or something. Did they do something? Did I dream?
No, they tried to. So Square Enix has been, they had a fire sale on a lot of their stuff. They sold off several developers, including, I think, Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
Because I know they sold off the rights to Tomb Raider.
Yep.
They sold off the studio that was developing. I think it was Eidos Montreal that was doing the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy and all of that stuff. And then in a few places, they did not sell their properties because they're not theirs to sell. But they did sell, like, studios that they were working with that they had brought in under their umbrella. The whole thing was apparently they wanted to get some liquid cash so that they could jump into the NFT market. Like, get on the blockchain and get some stuff done. And it was the day that the sale went through was also the day that because the NFT market is extremely volatile. It was the day that the blockchain, like, collapsed and it dropped a huge amount of stability. Like, it lost a lot of credibility that day. And so everyone was like, well, there, the irony is not lost on us here that you're desperately trying to get into this market and it is falling apart underneath you. Congratulations.
Square Enix, to be fair, Square Enix hasn't been good in so long. They haven't been good since they were just Square.
I don't know about all that, because, I mean, they've done some good things. Like, the Final Fantasy VII Remake is actually very, very good. And there's a few things under their banner. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was great. I have harped about how good that game is for weeks on end now, and it's on Game Pass.
Didn't they just publish that one? Like,
did so they didn't make actually...
they. I don't know about that because Eidos Montreal, I think, developed it. I'm almost positive.
Also, Final Fantasy Remake was good, but I don't know how to say it. Like, it was really good, but in trying to play it, because I love the original Final Fantasy VII, it was so anime, and I know you had that problem too. It was so anime.
I did, but I have also said that it was the kind of thing where, you know, looking back on it now, I played the original when I was a kid. I didn't know the difference. The translation was not great. And looking at it, I can see where it would have been like that had they had the ability to do the,
to put voices
the
in.
Voice
yeah.
acting and all they wanted.
Yeah.
I'm notoriously, we joke that I'm the anime expert. I'm the exact opposite. That's why it's funny.
I
very much like there were a few times when I was playing that game that I like the remake that I had to stop and go, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It was kind of charming and it kind of worked.
I don't know. As someone who actually did watch a lot of anime, I grew up on the whole, you can't have any silence, Lindsay. Shelby, every time there's silence, you have to fill it with a, huh?
What? Yeah.
So why that picture of the rom-com of template was one of my favorite things that have come out. Shelby, did you see that?
No.
Hold on, I'm gonna put that in the group chat for the text chat for babies real quick. While I'm doing that, Jesse, I have a. Did you know I had a motherfucker of the week this week?
I kind of have one too. But you go ahead.
Oh,
mine's extremely lighthearted.
Oh, you
with all the motherfuckers this past week.
You go first because mine is going to be. It's gonna turn into a rant of some kind. So you go first, Shelby. I just put it in the. Text chat. Text only for babies.
All right. Mine is super lighthearted and not all that serious. I'm just going to go ahead and put T-Rabs on blast, the new restaurant in between
Uh-oh.
Cape and Jackson.
Uh-oh. Careful now. So, Steven works there.
Whoa, no, so hey, me and Shelby. Hey, no, he doesn't. Yeah,
I didn't say who. I just said a name. You don't know who that is.
That's true. They didn't know Steven was a Steven
Dr.
Bright.
Steven Strange works at T-Rabs. Don't say
So anyway, so me and Shelby wanted to try because, you know, we saw the menu prices aren't bad. Like, it looks pretty good. Like, we wanted to give it a shot. So, you know, we call in. We're going to call in order. We're going to get it to go because we don't really feel like going to a restaurant that's almost certainly going to be really busy because it's recently opened. So I called, like, hey, got an order for carryout. I'm like, oh, we're not doing carryout yet. What?
Just throw it in a bag and give it to me, motherfucker.
Right? Like,
you don't have to clean a table. What is the
happening? Yeah, what did it say? Like, you can't do a to-go order? Like,
bring your own Tupperware and leave like Charlie, just with like the bag. Walking into other places. What is your ravioli policy here?
Yeah, I was so confused. I didn't know like how to respond
because there was a weird silence that she was probably like, got anything else? You coming in or what? Just like, oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's all I came up with. I was like, what? Really? And she's like, yeah, we can't do it yet. We're probably going to start doing it next week. I'm like,
okay.
See you next
How
week.
How the fuck?
Like, I'm certain we don't have notepads to write down what people called in. We don't have to-go containers.
I'm certain I've told this on the podcast before, so I'm not going to tell the whole story. But it still reminds me of the time that I went through our KFC, like, 2 or 3 hours before closing and was ordering stuff, and they would cut me off of all the things they didn't have. And about the third time, because they didn't have mac and cheese, and then they didn't have mashed potatoes, and then they didn't have biscuits. And I went, well, what the fuck do you have?
They have spaghetti and blankets.
I was already... it's the Mitch Hedberg bit. It's just, we're not participating in any of the deals. Yeah, again, I don't want to say who told me this, but apparently, so it's weird to me they're not doing carryout because they do cater events, for the record. That's another key piece of that information. Evidently, last weekend, they set up to cater something and were going through like a huge order making all this food and then realized they made it on the wrong day. Because it was needed for the next day.
No.
Oh, no.
So needless to say, there was a fire sale that day on what they had.
Oh.
I probably could have gotten it to go that day.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Come on in. Just bring a bucket. We'll fill it up. It's fine, dude. Come on.
Bucket of ravioli. Show up with one of those things from the 5 gallons from like Menards or Home Depot. boat. Here you go.
Just a bucket.
Mess it up.
Yeah. My family went into KFC one day, and they were like, sorry, we're out of chicken. I was like, how are you?
They're just KF.
Yeah, I was like, why are you even? We don't come here for sides. Here for the chicken.
They have the words lit up and they just like turn the power off for the chicken one.
We used to have that.
It's Kentucky Fried.
We used to have that joke about Steak and Shake.
We all fry. Don't worry about it.
Bob and I went to Steak and Shake once and they didn't have shakes. I was like, so you just steak tonight? You know, like.
And I'm sure that guy was probably like, yeah, I heard that one yet tonight, buddy.
No, he
grabs a steak knife and goes, it would be so easy. Just do his own
rib. I'm pretty sure with our Steak and Shake, he was shooting up meth behind the counter, so he didn't feel a thing, except the needle.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway.
It doesn't have a price tag, it's free. My response to that every time is like, no, I hold down the 9 key until it stops going, and that's the price I'm charging you.
What, I haven't done this yet, but I'm keeping it tucked away in my back pocket, that the day that I leave my job, or I'm getting close to leaving my job, the next time, right before that, someone hands me like a $100 bill or something and says, yeah, just made that, I'm going to make the biggest deal out of it and go, I can't take this. I can't take counterfeit money.
I have to call the FBI now.
This is a federally regulated place, and I'm going to look back and go, Sam, and I'm going to start screaming, and I'm going to just be the biggest dick possible in that moment.
I have flat out refused to take money from people. Like back when I worked at GameStop, I did that once or twice when the customer was just being dicks, and then they hit me with that shit, and I'm like,
just made it. Yeah.
Well, can't take it. Like, wait, no, it was a joke.
Don't you have that little pin back there? Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Make one of my other girls cry because our machine wouldn't take one of their big bills. And I said, I can't take this. And they pitched a fit and started mocking my worker to the point that when they left, she went to the back and cried for 15 minutes.
Well, that's not a funny story, though.
Not funny at all.
No, yeah. It's not. People like, are jerks.
This is a comedy show.
People are the worst.
Hey, my motherfucker of the week, Jesse.
He can't do it. He's as bad as Steven now. I keep waiting to hear the...
I'm never going to be that bad. Serious face. It's SNK. I put this in the chat today. I could not believe when I read this.
Where I thought this was going.
So you guys may or may not know SNK is one of the most celebrated fighting game developers, at least. They've had, you know, they put out Samurai Showdown, King of Fighters, Fatal Fury. I mean, they're all over the place.
If not celebrated, one of the most prevalent. Like, they've been around for a long time.
And I didn't know that the Saudi prince, Mohammed bin Salman, had bought 33% of the company a little while back. I didn't know that. Well, what I didn't also know is that in February, he bought 96% of the company. So the Saudi prince owns SNK. He owns King of Fighters. Oh, my God.
He doesn't own it. He's the majority shareholder. That's the vast majority, right?
At point, you basically own it,
right?
But yeah, like, because that's not like really. It's
don't silverline
a publicly
that
traded
for me.
Company.
Don't silverline
it's,
that.
So, I'm not silverlining it. It's unfortunate for SNK. It's just not SNK's fault because like, they're a publicly traded company, and he just bought it all.
Between that and their deal with WWE and. Apparently, I think it was Kaz posted that they've also bought stock in, what, Blizzard and a whole bunch of other companies like...
EA, if I remember correctly.
Man, this is what happens when you got money. You could just buy your way into anything.
Take-Two, they're in a lot of people's pockets there.
That's very depressing.
They got a lot of people in their pocket, I should say.
I've taken like a moral stance against WWE in a lot of ways, although I don't pay for their programming at all, but I did buy the game, and I do watch clips and stuff, and... It's hard to support them after what happened to the journalist Khashoggi when he was murdered and they still accepted the blood money. They're going back to Saudi Arabia this year. And now, these guys are going to start getting into the video game industry and purchasing developers that I like and companies that I like, or at least buying majority stock, like Jesse said. And that gives them a say in it. And they're collecting money whenever I purchase these things. And that feels wrong to me. But I don't know, man, because we were talking about this before, is like, where does the buck stop whenever you have, if you look deep enough, I'm pretty sure every company that you support has some skeletons in their closet. So where do you draw the line and go, well, I have to enjoy something, you know?
Well, because that's one of those things. Like, you can't really be upset necessarily with the company because of, like, and like in this situation, yeah, 96% of it, yeah, he owns most of it. That's bad. But, like, you know, in a general thing, like, if you, because you hear about people that have, or people talking about companies because they have, like, Chinese ownership, like Tencent or whatever has, like, part ownership. And it gets a situation where they have, like, 5% of the shares. Anybody can buy stock in this company. Like, anybody could be a partial owner, because that's the point of it being publicly traded.
But to buy 96% of stock, I feel like they would have had to have bought it from some, you know, they would have had to buy that from somebody. There would have had to have been approvals on 96% of stock.
Yeah, he just would have had to start paying a premium at some point. Like, because if people have got it for sale, like, as the price is going up, like, I'm sure people just sold it. And yeah, I'm sure that he did probably make deals. Like, he offered some people that had a whole shitload of shares, like, an unreasonable sum of money
to buy buy stake in SNK.
And I'm trying to find like what the
he probably offered to not murder their family, and they took that offer.
Yeah, that might be true.
You know,
but I'm trying to find what the price of like that stock was.
He probably sent emails out to the shareholders and says, "If you sell your stock to me, I won't behead you." And they said that was a good deal.
Now, wait a minute. He would never be stupid enough to put that in text.
That's true.
He definitely sent a messenger to say that.
That's
out
true.
Loud.
And then denied that the messenger worked for him, and then welcomed
probably
him
killed that guy
back into his home before he killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you
shit.
Go. There it is.
All right. So, and he honestly, he bought it likely for a song because like shares of SNK are about $1.20 a share.
Well, I mean, that's pretty tight though. I mean, the Saudi prince can't have that much money, right? Right?
Depends. Is it in American dollars or like, you know, whatever made up money?
I assume with SNK's track record, it was probably fun bucks because they don't have any actual money left.
I wish you watched The Office so we could talk about Shroot Bucks right now.
Oh, man.
Tanner, I will give you 100 Shroot Bucks for all of your Stanley Nichols.
That Shroot Buck exchange rate is something.
All it's not the same as the exchange rate between leprechauns and unicorns.
And I am out. So
of Shroot Bucks, you don't have any?
I don't have any.
Print some more like Creed does.
I don't have any Stanley just coins. Lindsay, bad news. They also
Nichols.
They canceled Who Wants to Be Saved by the Bell? Saved by the Bell. They canceled Saved by the Bell.
I don't care.
Yeah.
The reboot or whatever. Or
the first season of it.
Years.
It was okay.
Also, there's something happened with the Supreme Court this week we're not going to get into.
To be fair, it hasn't happened yet. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, and I'm not. We definitely should not talk about it. But
we should not talk about it on this show. But do stay.
Hasn't happened yet.
Do stay tuned to an all new No Turning
Probably
Back.
Probably going
to
happen.
Where Shannon Young shoots his mouth off before Shannon Young actually shoots his mouth off later this year. So, with that said. Let's jump into tonight's top five. Lindsay, what is it once again?
Our top five favorite Star Wars moments, and this can come from any version of media that involves it.
May the force be with you. So on a real tip, you guys know I sell drugs, right?
Yeah.
When
that man said on the real tip, and I can see the fucking balance swaying. It was too slick. It was too cute. Like, he was like, on a real tip, you know I sell drugs, right? Like, it was too... I knew there was no way he was going to maintain the face as soon as he said it.
All right, let's just get to it. Let's start off with, I don't know, Jesse.
All right, so, like, a few of these...
Okay,
so,
Mo.
Of the whole, like, all of the sequels, Shelby so far has only seen The Force Awakens.
God damn it.
We should probably mention this rule to have spoilers.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to keep mine, like...
I'm not terribly worried about it. Controversial opinion here. Star Wars isn't my favorite franchise. I would pick Star Trek over it any day, so...
Shelby,
that's fair.
Shelby, I also love Star Trek, but if we did a Star Trek episode, it would... Well, yeah, me, you, and Jesse, and Hunter, I think, at least. I don't know about Nope, Hunter's out.
Jesse's out.
Hey, dude, I like Star Trek. It's just I've never actually really like sat down and got into it.
Yeah.
I was kind of for like a hot second when I was a kid, I was into The Next Generation, even though I didn't actually know what the hell was going on. I just thought it was cool.
Mom,
I did too.
It.
I was also like 7 when it was on, so I didn't really appreciate it.
Shelby,
and then
before Jesse,
I like the reboot movies. I mean, they were good.
Before Jesse gives his answer, who's your favorite Star Trek character?
Oh, how can you pick?
I have
Data?
An answer for
easily,
this.
And Hunter knows.
That's not who it was though. My favorite Star Trek character is Geordi LaForge, and it's not even close.
That's fair.
I fucking love Geordi LaForge.
That's fair.
I thought he was awesome when
Scotty's
I was a kid.
Scotty's good too, though.
Who?
Yeah.
Scotty.
It's Commander
the reboot,
Riker.
Scotty, if it's Carl Urban, isn't that Carl Urban?
No, Scotty is of Simon Pegg.
What's his name?
Simon Pegg.
Oh yeah. Who was Carl Urban? Was
Bones
wasn't he?
Yeah.
Bones.
No. Oh God. Well.
He's right back there. It's fine.
I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get some more wine.
I still do it.
Oh.
If my favorite character as a kid was Worf.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's fair too.
I always like Data.
I just like that they're all coming from like the
next generation.
So whoever it is, Anson Mount's playing in Discovery.
Well, at least it's not a expanded universe character. It wasn't a librarian from Earth 4-6 or whatever.
Shannon, you promised.
I did. Damn it! I'm sorry. Withdrawn. Withdrawn. All right, back to the topic at hand. Jesse, your favorite Star Trek moments?
No. any of the musical scenes in the Orville, which is the best Star Trek.
Oh, well, you're fucking wrong, and now you're not getting married.
He's already fucked up like 3 things for our invitation, so.
God damn! Well, I gotta go get some more wine.
Oh, I also gotta go get some more wine with you. I gotta go to the store.
I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in Perryville.
Look, there's a miscommunication. I don't think it's that fucked up. Like, it wasn't irredeemably so.
The name.
I just had to make something up to work.
The name on the contract says Kimball Hunter, but not Jesse Kimball.
Woman named Kimball.
He jumped into the bit and he asked to put Kimbrel.
Jesse Kimbrel.
Kimbrel.
All right, Jesse. Favorite Star Wars moment. Get out of Dodge quickly.
We'll do some Star Wars moments.
It's a quick time event. Avoid spilt juice.
All right, I am gonna start with the hallway scene from Rogue One.
Damn it!
Ooh, all right,
there goes that.
Okay.
That's on everybody's goddamn. That's the last goddamn time I call you.
That's a cheat code.
Yeah,
it's really
that is a cheat code.
I knew that I needed to bust it out because, like,
everybody,
such a good fucking scene.
That legitimately is my favorite, probably single scene in Star Wars history.
Same.
So you
very much same.
Explain to the crowd.
It's a horror movie, man.
Yeah, tell them what happens, Jesse. Put them on blast.
All right, because this was one I was wanting Shelby to see organically.
Oh, never mind then. Never mind. We won't mention it. We won't mention it.
Just have her. Just have her. Get earplugs. Move them real fast in there. It sounds like Pac-Man.
Yes.
No.
All right, but it's just really
if you know when he says the hallway.
I think anybody that gives a shit knows.
Yeah, you're right.
It's good stuff.
You're right.
Wait, hang on, I'm gonna try to recreate it. Give me one second.
All right, touch yourself in the dark. All right, here we go. Yeah, I remember Vader saying
failing already.
That was in the expansion.
There it is. That's pretty close. And then he wiggles it. He wiggles it like he's fishing. Yeah.
Wiggle.
The shortest version of it is Darth Vader's goddamn terror.
Darth Vader's scary man.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Correct, yes.
Let's go to Shelby Chan.
One of my favorite... So I found out going through this that of the original series, I really like The Phantom Menace. That was one of my, I guess, my favorite movie. Mainly...
I'm fine with it. I'm agreeing with you.
It's fine.
It's fine. Shelby, legit,
fine.
I have a whole new appreciation for The Phantom Menace. And what I love about the original prequel trilogy is it really does have like a whole new respect and love for it, especially after the Clone Wars came out. So you are in a safe space. Go ahead.
It's fine.
Just my
least favorite. It's fine.
Well, Darth Maul's fight with Qui-Gon Jinn.
Damn it!
Any interaction between Darth Maul and Qui-Gon is great.
Damn it! I feel like Bill Hader.
That's off my list.
I feel like Bill Hader, the SNL skit. I'm going, damn it, idiot! I gotta take it off.
Yeah, I basically just put the
idiot savages.
Yeah, Duel of the Fates plays. They fight. It's freaking amazing.
You did specifically say Qui-Gon. So the desert fight on Tatooine or the end fight?
I said fights.
Oh, fights. So plural.
She's taking it all.
All of them.
She's taking all of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, those are the redeeming qualities of that film, 100%.
Easy. There's other things. Like, I don't think The Phantom Menace is as bad as everyone says it is. I watched it yesterday at the store. I saw clips of it in between work, and the clips I saw were inoffensive at worst, or best. Anyway, let's go on to Bearded Man. Tanner Campbell. Tanner Calvert, fuck! You threw me off my game tonight. You're taking all my answers.
Let's talk about the fact that literally
every one of us... Get them while they're hot.
I was about to say, there's four men. All four of us have beards.
Go ahead, Tanner.
That's the whole reason we have a podcast. That's how you make a podcast. Right. Four white dudes with beards who have opinions.
They start recording them.
Yeah.
So Jesse took one hallway scene. I'm going to take the other. The Luke Skywalker hallway scene from The Mandalorian.
Motherfucker, are you kidding me? Okay.
Yep.
That's three of my five.
I'm surprised you have five because the whole way up the show you kept going, I have three.
That was the three.
And you were like, there it is.
That was the three.
There it is. They're gone.
I knew for 100% certain that the hallway scene from Rogue One was going to be on Shannon's list, and I knew Duel of the Fates was going to be on Shannon's list.
Motherfucker.
I did not. Right. I didn't know you were going to take it.
Jesse machine. Bro.
Oh, that's good shit.
Yes.
Sorry, Shannon. Love you.
Yeah. Tanner, that was absolutely one of my absolute favorite scenes. That's so good. It got spoiled for me, unfortunately, but it didn't take away from the moment because, boy,
how was I was watching that with Brandy. I'm like, I see just see the light, the green lightsaber coming. I go, well, this looks familiar. And it kept going. I go, ooh. Ooh.
I didn't even care that it was slightly odd looking, you know, with the whole.
Oh, I mean, only when you look close.
It was like it had some uncanny valley to it, but yeah.
It was like Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One.
They did better once they got to.
They did. Mandalorian Season 2. Yeah, well, Boba Fett.
No.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that like, it's just impossible to not have.
I forgot that the
longer they kept the camera on him,
yeah,
the weirder it got. Like, been like, here, okay, bye.
It was the same thing with Peter Cushing in Rogue One. Like, the more you looked at him, the weirder it was. But at the same time, like, watching it yesterday again, if you watch it on a TV screen, it looks so much more realistic than seeing it on the big screen. Like, it was harder to tell.
It was one of those things, like, even on the big screen, like, so I watched that movie in theaters with my roommate Andrew, and like, I just leaned over to him and was like, all right, so the CG on Tarkin is phenomenal, but the Uncanny Valley is killing me. And that's when Andrew found out he was CG. like, he did not realize until I pointed out Uncanny Valley, and he was like,
I
need you to know that the way you described that, it made it sound like Andrew himself was CG. You pointed it out, and that's when he looked down and was like, oh, damn.
Oh, God, no.
It's happening to me, too.
Oh, shit.
And then everyone in the theater turned around and looked at Jesse.
He just starts fading out of existence.
I need to go back and
watch. I just gave my CG roommate awareness, and so he started fading away.
Okay. And somebody else walks in the room like, Jesse, who the fuck are you talking to?
Barney, give him a cigarette.
What's that,
Tanner? Sorry.
No, I need to go back and watch Rogue One again because
it's the best.
I remember it really is. I remember the weirdness of the Peter Cushing CG work.
It's not as bad when you rewatch it.
It's really like I remember the CG on those movies.
Carrie Fisher has come a very long way.
I think Carrie Fisher did look worse, and especially because her death was so recent.
Yeah,
seeing it was weird. Right.
That may have had something to do with it.
It was literally within days, wasn't it? Yeah. Like a week at most. Yeah.
Oh. On Disney Plus, they put up the gallery episode for the Book of Boba Fett, and towards the end of it, they go into that technology, how they've improved it and stuff, and it's really kind of cool on how far it's come.
They filmed it with Mark Hamill.
Yes.
Yep.
And then turned around and had Mark Hamill's son come in to film it.
Yep.
For the younger version, and was able to do the CG to make it, and that's why it looks so fucking good.
Lindsay, did they in that making of, and we'll move on to Hunter in just a second, but I'm curious, in that making of, did they address how they digitally removed Boba Fett from his show and put the Mandalorian in instead? Just curious.
We want him back, and it would, they're like, it's been so long since, it'll be so long until we see him again, that like, they're like, it would make sense, they're friends now, he'd come back and help.
Yeah, that's the reason, Hunter.
This will improve the ratings.
All right, Double H, steal another one.
All right, well, it now feels like I gotta get the dangerous ones out of the way first. I guess this is probably going to screw somebody's deal up too. Although I really am not interested in taking the Obi-Wan and Anakin fight from the end of Revenge of the Sith. I don't want the whole thing. I want the intro. I just want the, you were my brother, I have failed you. You know, if you're not with me, you are my enemy. It's the best part is the, if you are not with me, you're my enemy. And Obi-Wan igniting that saber. I will do what I must. You will try. That's the best. I mean, the fight itself is good, but to me, it's a little too long.
That was the best. The ending is good. Hayden Christensen as Anakin was that moment.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I mean, the lead up to that is the best part of it for me. And to me, it's probably some of Ewan McGregor's best moments as Obi-Wan. Not just that, but then the end of the fight, too. So I guess I kind of got to take the whole thing, because the end of it with the, you know, I have the high ground. Yeah, and him just yelling at him how much that he loved him, and him just saying, I hate you. I'm taking it, Shannon. I'm sorry. It's happening.
Shut up. Let me read you my list real quick. Number one, Obi-Wan versus Anakin. Number two, Vader, Rogue One. Luke Skywalker, Mandalorian. And then whatever the fuck else you guys have said. That's four of the five that I picked.
I have like three on my list. I don't think anybody else is going to take at least one. I know nobody else is going to take.
I feel like I'm safe on all of mine.
Well,
I've got a few that I don't think anybody's going to take.
I just want to, since I'm going to pick a different one now, I want to add on to that, because that is literally, other than the Rogue One thing, that's my favorite part of Star Wars, is Anakin versus Obi-Wan. I appreciate it so much more now. When I was younger, I thought it was more boring because the Duel of the Fates fight was so good. But rewatching it now, the intensity and the emotion in that fight, it was slower, but it was more impactful. It wasn't just a bunch of acrobatics. It was like, it was Brock Lesnar versus, you know, Bobby Lashley, as opposed to the Young Bucks versus insert tag team. It wasn't all flash. Damn it. Idiot. All right.
Idiot. Savages. Savages. Well, idiots.
Man. What Shannon has learned from this episode is, from now on a topic he really enjoys, he goes first.
And second, and third, and fourth.
He just reads his whole list beforehand.
All right.
I actually need Lindsay to go next to see if she takes the fifth.
She won't.
Because
it won't.
Okay. No one.
There's no way.
No one's gonna take this one from me. Thank God. I know. I don't know if it's on Hunter's list, but I know he likes it. So hopefully, I didn't take this from him, because unlike you savages, I don't want to take from others. I had it put as just Kylo Ren in general. But if I had to narrow it down, because
Kylo Ren was
the, other than Poe Dameron, was the only redeeming part of the new trilogy. Kylo Ren, they screwed him up in part 3 or part 9, because you had this great story set up in part 8 where he becomes the bad guy. He threw away his redemption. No, I choose to destroy everything. And he should have been the bad guy in part 9, but they chicken shitted out. They went with Palpatine. They screwed the story up so badly because they switched directors, but I won't talk about that. If I had to pick one Kylo Ren moment, because Kylo Ren is the best, it is the part where where Rey gives him the lightsaber and he pulls it out and does the Han Solo like bow, because he so perfectly emulated Han Solo in that moment. He looked like Harrison Ford doing that little, you know what I mean, Hunter? I don't know how to describe it correctly. That little, where
yeah,
he
it's
does
that
the little
head tilt.
Yeah,
it wasn't on my list, but yeah, the little head tilt once he pulls the saber and you see that little just like, What do you got?
It was very Han Solo-ish.
Goes into it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a real credit to Adam Driver that he manages to continue to be himself and fully emulate, like, that guy should be Harrison Ford's son in that moment.
Yes,
like,
he exactly.
It's great, and I take nothing away from, what was his name, Alden Ehrenreich, who played Han in Solo. I think he did a really great job, too. But in that moment, Adam Driver really is, like, he emulates Harrison Ford, but not actually being Harrison Ford so well.
Right.
It's just, and without any words.
It's
literally
perfect.
Just...
Yes.
It's
so all throughout the sequels, he like emulates Han in different ways. I've seen like the different meme posts that people share side by sides of their interactions with other people and how they're just like the exact same. You see a point where there was a point where Han looks at somebody and he's pointing at him like, "Don't." And there's a point in time where someone comes to give deliver bad news to Kylo, no. And then just
no,
just the
hey, boops him on
just
the nose.
Just the blind shooting behind him that Han just did in Force Awakens, and you get all the way to the end where Kylo's, you know, coming back to the light side, and he's you know trying to get to Rey, and he just takes his blaster and blindly fires behind him, shooting in one of the Knights of Ren in the chest. It was just great.
As much as I hate
Han Solo all through,
I hate that they did that to Kylo Ren because I think he could have been a great bad guy if they had just not chickened out. But at the same time, I liked the Kylo Ren character so much. I don't know. I'm just glad something happened with him. But goddamn, we're 40 minutes in and we're one round, so we got to keep going, Lindsay.
That's because you babbled beforehand.
Because everyone took my picks.
I'm sorry. My first one is purely because it is the first thing I remember of Star Wars sticking in my mind, and it's from Return of the Jedi when you see in Jabba's palace, when just they're just going through everybody inside, all the different puppets. And mind you, pre-CG version of it, as far as that goes, is like that's like my first initial Star Wars. That was unnecessary.
That also gave us Slave Leia, which gave girls a Halloween costume for the next, you know, 30 years. Still popular today.
50.
It's every cosplay girl's like first foray into nerd cosplay. So yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It gave us the fantastic part where everything cool about Boba Fett was gone when Han Solo accidentally killed him until he came back.
That's just the Star Wars trope. Like, these badass, awesome characters, they all have goofy ass.
Oh, Captain Phasma. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Let's go back to... Lindsay, I like that part, too, by the way. I don't like Return of the Jedi. It's probably...
That's just my earliest memory of Star Wars.
My second least favorite Star Wars movie, but at the same time, I loved that part. That was great. It's just those fucking Ewoks. All right, let's go back to Jesse.
See, I liked the Ewoks. Of course, but I was a little kid, so of course I did.
What's wrong with them? They're an indigenous species. What's wrong with them?
We should wipe them out and take what they have for our own people. All right.
Good luck with that. They ate stormtroopers. Let me know how that goes for you.
All right. They did. All right. I don't want to argue the sequels with Shannon because we all know that I guess I'm in the minority, I think, in this group in general. I really liked the sequels. But
I liked all of them.
I liked them all except the last one.
I liked the last one a lot.
I even liked the last one. I have my issues with it, but I liked it.
Yeah. We're allowed to be critical of it.
Yeah, and we're allowed to have a difference of opinion. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, in general, though, I did try to steer clear of the original trilogy on a lot of mine. But... Chewie, we're home from The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. That's
like even because Shelby, like I'm getting her through the sequels very, very slowly at this point. Even The Force Awakens, we had to break it up into two nights, but because we just started it really late the first time we watched it. But yeah, even like rewatching it, like Han coming up on the Millennium Falcon with Chewie and that line, like I still got goosebumps.
Yeah,
just oh man,
that was great. That was
such a good scene.
Also, I think Force Awakens was kind of a retread of A New Hope, in a lot of ways it is. It doesn't take away from the fact that like they did a great job with Han in that movie. He was important, but he wasn't the main character. He was my favorite part of the first one. And the part where has she seen that one yet?
The Force Awakens, she has seen, yes.
Okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the new ones, skip ahead. If you don't know this, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, there's your warning. When Han dies, so this was during the time period where I was seeing somebody And I saw it twice in the same day. I saw it first time with Lindsay and then the second time with somebody else. So the first time I watched it, Lindsay and I both tears in our eyes.
I was bawling.
And then the second time I watched it, I knew it was coming. So I got to prepare myself and nobody else in the theater really knew. And I'm just sitting there going like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
You were doing the, hold on.
I'll break it down. No, I just remember, going into the movie that night and accidentally coming across what I thought was a spoiler at that time, because they said that Chewie died. And all I can think of is, my God, of all things they could take from Legends, they had to take the son killing, or take somebody killing Chewie. Gosh damn it. And then we got to that point. I'm like, oh, no, that's worse.
That was much worse.
What made that worse for me was Chewie having to leave without him.
Yeah. No, Chewie's reaction, like, just.
He was so mad.
I tried to embody that a few times in Dawn of Defiance with Groz. Like, anytime that some major shit went down, just that. Like,
so,
pained Wookiee.
So
scream.
When Groz reacted to Harani trying to give herself up to Vader, that's what I imagined.
That's what went through
that scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I wanted it to be. Yeah.
Jesse, by the way, Piney's back.
Yeah. I'll tell you about
it. We'll tell
you
about it later.
Oh, yeah. I want to quickly add on to Jesse's before we leave, because I would never put this on my list as one. It is not even a full moment worth talking about, but when, like, as they you know, Han and Chewie kind of retake the Falcon, and then those other guys show up because they're like, they've got their
the two gangs.
It's the deal with the Wrath, what they call it, whatever those things are. Yeah, the other gangs that show up. I actually really like at least one of those gangs, the guys that are like kind of Irish. And a line that sticks in my head every time is when he says that about, you know, Conja Club, or Han says something about, you know, Conja Club, we'll take care of that. And the guy goes, tell that to Conja Club. Like, the way he says, I don't know why that sticks with me. It's just very funny to me.
Also, trivia about that. You guys probably already know, but the they're from The Raid, the movie The Raid. Yeah. Yeah, those gangs.
That's basically the entire squad, yeah.
That's just cool. Yep. That's a great movie. All right, let's go on to Shelby. Shelbu.
Another one from Phantom Menace. It is Watto's part shop, or the tinkering shop, or whatever you want to call his shop. Basically, when I saw that, I was like, I want to go there. There's so many things. It was basically like a gigantic Lego shop of just random-ass parts. And I was like, I want to put it all together. I want to build a fucking pod racer. I want to build whatever the fuck I can. I want to build a droid.
I was about to say, I know you like those little, like, disc-shaped droids that pop up.
Yes!
You are going to cry at Galaxy's Edge. That's all I'm going to say.
Watto as a character, I know he's not a great guy because he's a fucking slave trader and all kinds of other shit. And I just think his shop is really cool. He looks cool. Even though he's a weird flying bug.
Guy
thing with a weird long elephant nose. I don't know what he is. He looks cool. He's a shit dude. Has a cool shop.
He did what he had to do to survive. You know?
Don't they all?
Choices.
He didn't try to lie about it. At least he was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like,
and you can't use Jedi mind powers on him.
It's true. True.
He was, All right, Tanner.
He's immune to.
Okay. I had to stop for a second. So, the moments from Boba Fett where you get to see Luke interact with Ahsoka.
Yes.
As a fan of Expanded Universe, and especially as a fan of Ahsoka in general, seeing that interaction was something I've dreamed about for I don't know how long. And to see that
Boba Fett, or was that in The Mandalorian?
Boba Fett.
Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that was one with Ahsoka primarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was that quick line of you're just like your father.
Did you see, Tanner, the behind-the-scenes thing of Rosario Dawson the first time she walks up and sees Mark Hamill sitting there?
Not yet, no.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. So great. I love the fact that, like, her script literally up to that day, it's like, Ahsoka's going to meet Plo Koon. Okay, how's this going to work? Nope, it's not Plo Koon.
Because Plo Koon is dead. If she was a Star Wars fan, she would have known that. All right, so did you guys... caddy.
Well, so was the Emperor.
But somehow he returned. Did you guys see the Obi-Wan trailer?
Yes.
Is there a new one?
Yeah,
it came out yesterday.
There's a part where Obi-Wan is talking to Uncle Lars.
Owen,
yeah.
Uncle Owen.
Yeah, and he says, when the boy, when he becomes age, he should be trained. And Owen looks at him and says, like you trained his father? Burn!
Oh, yeah. No, just the delivery. Someone went to TikTok
and took that scene, like you trained his father, and it was just the guy going, emotional damage.
Emotional damage.
All right, let's go to Hunter. We're almost an hour
in. All right. This is one that I should have done as my first one because it is my favorite. It's the only other one I think I'm maybe in risk of having taken. I've talked about this on the show before, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But the scene of Yoda removing Luke's X-Wing from the swamp and the dialogue in that moment. I think I brought this up on movie moments that always get me a little bit. It's when Yoda's explaining how the Force, connects everything. And he says that line, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. But the longer it goes, the better it gets because he moves the X-Wing. And there's that incredible score by John Williams, which, of course, we got to see performed live at that concert at Powell Hall with the St. Louis Symphony. It was better even than it is on the recording. He lands the X-Wing, and I always forget that Luke then says, I don't believe this. And that's when Yoda gets to hit him with that. You're talking about a burn. Yoda comes back. That is why you fail. Well, at this point in the trilogy, he's telling Luke, you're not there yet. And I keep trying to tell you you're not there yet. I know you think you've got to do what you've got to do, but that's why you're going to fail. And he does. He's still right.
That that was the fifth one on my original list.
Are you serious?
Well, I was always going to take that one. I'm not going to apologize for that. That was one I didn't think anybody else would have.
Well, to be fair.
That's legitimately my favorite moment in the whole series.
To be fair. All right, you know what? No, mine wasn't quite that, so I'm going to keep mine, and we'll just tie them in together, because mine was the original meeting of Luke and Yoda in the swamp.
Oh, yeah.
Because Yoda is so batshit crazy. Yes. He's
fine.
He steals a little flashlight, and R2 tries to take it back, and he just beats him with a stick. Oh my god, it's so fun! I forgot how funny that was, seeing Yoda just throwing Luke stuff out like he doesn't care, because he's insane at that point. He's lived with that goddamn swamp.
It's better too when it turns out that he's not. You know, he keeps pretending that. I'll lead you to this great Yoda. and then as soon as Obi-Wan starts speaking, and he's like, he's too old. I can't train him. That whole Dagobah thing, when I was a kid, I didn't love that set of scenes on Empire, which is why Empire was not my favorite for many, many years. And then once I got old enough to really appreciate what they were doing in that, I can just sit and watch the Dagobah sections, and be satisfied. That's a Star Wars fill for me. Like, if I need a boost on it, that's it.
Empire itself, it's been said a million times, and watching it again yesterday for the 50th time, I realized that Empire Strikes Back is a masterclass in Star Wars. Like, it's just good from top to bottom, the direction, everything. So that's mine. I'll skip the rest of it, but Yoda and Luke, Yoda's initial I'm crazy scene is fantastic. Lindsay?
Is Tanner taking a picture of the screen right now?
No, I've got a... I'm looking at something here.
So I also have an Ahsoka moment on this one, but it's one of my favorite parts from Rebels, where she sends the ghost team to go find help, and we reunite Rex and Ahsoka afterwards. Like, I was so excited to see Rex, Wolf, and McGregor just in general, because after watching Clone Wars, I have deep feels for all of these clones and them finding their humanity, and the fact that they got to come back and Rex of all of them back just made me happy.
Clone Wars was so much better than it had any right to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nuts. Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, it redeemed the prequels in a lot of ways. It lets you flesh out the characters in ways that they couldn't do in the movies. Jesse, let's go back to you.
All right. So for my next one, I'm going to do the throne scene from The Last Jedi.
Oh, the throne room, with okay.
That was that was one of my replacement ones.
I'm actively trying to remember that we're not spoiling things.
I'm trying not to. Like, you guys don't... Shelby's already said it's okay if you guys spoil stuff a little bit, but...
Okay, just flat out, that fight... ranks for me ranks up there visually with Duel of Fates.
I agree.
It's top five for sure.
It's really good. The, everything about that whole scene is just spectacular. And then the thing that Shannon, you know, would have really liked about the end of it that they undid in the next film. But yeah, it's so good. Everything about it is just really, really
good. Boy, I wish I had remembered that we were talking about that before I went on that tangent about Kylo Ren. I'm so sorry, Shelby.
It's okay.
Anyway, let's go to Shelby.
By the time we finally watch it, Shelby will have forgotten about this podcast.
Give her some wine.
Or he'll decide to watch it like super late at night and I'll fall asleep halfway through it again. What was the last thing you remembered from the movie we were watching last night? And like the first half of what I say makes sense, and then the last half was where my brain was like, we make shit up now. We're asleep.
I used to do that with Star Trek, actually. Like, I'd fall asleep on... I used to have a futon in my room when I lived with my parents when I was a kid. And when I would watch Star Trek, I would fall asleep during it, and then I would wake up and have to figure out which parts of it were actually part of the show and which parts I made up.
I can see Jesse just stopping you halfway and being like, wait, nope, that's where the dream began. Okay. From that point on... it all happened up here.
she wrote half an episode of The Good Place.
And didn't even get credit for it.
That's how they write them, actually. Yeah. That's what they did.
People dream them, and then they take those dreams.
They go, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked me, he's like, what do you remember? And I was like, this, and then this happens, and this. And he's like, that's not an episode.
That like, none of that happened.
I was like, no, we were just watching it. He goes, no, you were out.
that was the first time she had done that, and I was like, "Nah, none of that happened."
Did Shelby pick one? I don't remember now.
No.
Oh, okay. Mine was the last one was Throne Scene.
Yeah, Shelby.
All right, I'm moving on to the Book of Boba, where Boba Fett builds his staff with the Tusken Raider fighter. Gets to like pick the stick after taking the fucking weird ass drug and wandering
around. After he came back with the tree.
And it's like, I have a stick. I was dying. I don't know why. I loved it so much though. I was like, dude, they just drugged his ass and were like, go find a tree in the desert. I was like, oh, he's dead.
They sent him on his vision quest.
They told him to go find a mighty weapon. He came back with a twig and said, I got this.
Yeah, that'll work, I guess. All right, let's go. But yeah, the whole like the scene leading up to, and then the scene of him making his weapon.
I really liked what they did with Boba and the Tusken Raiders and how they made it so intimate. I expected different from the series from that point, but it was a strange one. I still liked it.
All the Tusken Raider scenes, like those are my before he actually gets to where he has passed the desert and he's in. Is it Mos Eisley?
It's most something.
Mos Espa. Yeah, I was about to say Mos Eisley is the that's the famous one.
That's the
one. Well, I knew it was one of the Moses, and I couldn't remember which Moses.
If you like anything with Tusken Raiders in it, I got to find the story. But there was in canon at one point in time a Tusken Raider who became a Jedi.
Yep.
So I had to find that.
Which is crazy because all I remember about Tusken Raiders growing up was just that's it. That's all they could do.
And they live on a planet far enough out that they're not sure that the Force is a real thing.
Yeah. All right, Tanner, go faster.
Well, I was going to make a joke, but I'll wait for it. There's an episode in Rebels. No, Clone Wars. I got mixed up for a second.
They blend together.
Kind of sometimes, yeah. But I had to stop thinking about it. No, Ahsoka and Obi-Wan were not together with Anakin and Rebels. Anyway, they visit a planet called Mortis, and they end up coming across these three beings that are part of the Force. The father, the son, and the daughter. Yeah.
The Holy Trinity.
Basically, yeah. So the father is the Force in general. It is the, you know, the oneness of the Force. The daughter represents the light side. The son represents the dark side. And they spend the episode trying to reunite with each other, with the father choosing Anakin as the strongest Force being in the universe to take his place, to have control over the Force, to try to control the sister and the son. And he denies it, and he says, well, then this is your future. And he shows him like glimpses of Vader in his future.
They play the Imperial March in the background, like that little bit of a tune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yep. And also, since he refuses, the sister and the brother end up destroying each other anyways. Mm-hmm. And the owl that you see with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Double H. Such a cool episode.
Yep.
Double H.
Sorry, I thought I was hearing something else somewhere. Okay, let's do... So, the Vader hallway scene in Rogue One is legitimately probably his best moment of all time. But if you take it outside of the films, you get a lot of the same energy with the very end of Jedi Fallen Order, the game. Yeah. I don't know how many other people have made it there, and I don't want to, you know, totally ruin it for anybody. But if you haven't, close your... You know, get away. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. So the female Inquisitor that you've been dealing with the entire time, Cal Kestis finally kind of gets
second
through
sister.
To her. Yeah, I think so.
Seventh,
something like that.
It's
second,
a sister.
Seventh, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've beaten it. But Cal finally gets through to her, and it looks like he's going to be able to at least, you know, get her to understand it. She basically is like, once you get in here, you don't get away. Which is right about the time that Darth Vader shows up and runs her through with his lightsaber. Basically, pretty much just puts it against her back and ignites it. Vader as a final boss was very much the same way he was for my Dawn of Defiance crew here. He is not to be beaten. He's to be survived. Just get away.
Some of us didn't survive, Hunter.
That's the problem. Yeah, no, Vader basically just chases you through this complex, this kind of underwater complex. And he's horrifying because, I mean, you're at the end of the game, like you're feeling badass. You've got all the powers. You got your double bladed saber. You can, you know, break it in two and dual wield it. And it's a whole deal. And you can't even put a dent in his armor. Like can't even put a scratch on him. In fact, when they get away, it's only at the cost of other people and the fact that they dump like the entire ocean on him just to hold him back long enough to escape.
That's how
horrifying.
Vader should be.
Vader's
yes.
scary.
Yeah. I did not see it coming. I feel like I can lump in with this one because I don't think anybody's going to mention it. But just as a side note for that too, it's a line that I kind of wish he'd uttered there. There's a pretty famous scene from the Vader comics. Somebody stop me if you're going to use this, where he's like about to be attacked by a group of guys, and they say that he is surrounded, and he ignites a saber and says, "The only thing I am surrounded by is fear and dead men." And it's just like
Darth Vader.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that Fallen Order bit, again, I had no idea it was coming. It was not spoiled for me, and that was really the best way to enjoy it in the game because for a split second, I, like most people who encounter Vader for the first time, I'm like, oh, I got to beat this guy?
Yeah.
And about three tries into doing it, I was like, no, you just got to get away. Just go. Just go and keep going.
That is the second best Vader fight in video games. The first one, of course, being Star Wars on Nintendo, where after you hit
him, he's a giant scorpion.
He turns into a giant scorpion.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
We all remember
it's
that.
A terrible Darth Vader. Game.
Yeah, you hit him enough, he just turns into a giant scorpion. Whatever.
Yes, he does.
Yep. So, since all of my original picks were taken, and I'm really scraping the barrel here to try to think of anything that's not, like, obvious, I'm going to go with, and you mentioned video games, I'm going to go with Star Wars Battlefront 2, the original Battlefront 2, which had a campaign where you played as, I believe you were the clone troopers during Order 66, is one of the missions. And in one of those parts, you actually are Isla Secura's clone troopers. And they talk about how when Order, and this is one of my favorite parts in the game, and you don't hear much about what the troopers felt when they did what they did, but in the game they specifically mentioned that she was so respected and beloved by her troopers that when the order came, they made sure to kill her quickly because they felt so awful about it. And that's just always been one of my favorite things, that everyone loved Isla Secura so much that even when they had to kill her, it put a dent in them emotionally.
There were some stories, like I think it was either Rebels or Clone Wars, where you talk to some of them and they talk about like how awful they felt about Order 66 and like how, like, you know, that they did not want to do it and then they could not, like,
they couldn't not do it.
Yeah, they couldn't not do it with a few exceptions, like Hunter and then Rex attempting to fight it off. But even until Ahsoka got his chip out, he couldn't completely fight it.
Yeah. And then there were like some stormtroopers that, because, you know, this explains how they're Jedi and later, like, expanded universe stuff. There are some stormtroopers that straight up killed themselves instead of executing the order.
Yeah, it's a whole thing that I think there's a lot more story there that I'd like to hear about, you know, the what happened with Order 66. Like, you could do a whole thing about Order 66.
Or I would love it, that'd be something else for them to go through with the Bad Batch. Yeah. Them coming across other clones that.
And I think I want to attach Isla's actual death in the movie, because she's she like looks over at like, was it like a butterfly or something for a brief second, and when she turns away to look, they gun her down. It's just such a cold moment, and to realize how much they hated doing it, that always just stuck with me as a Star Wars moment. It was very serious in a very silly, silly story. Lindsay, go ahead.
I am going to go to the Book of Boba Fett this time, and the appearance of Cad Bane, because I was so, so excited.
You told
me. Even though it was spoiled for me before I got to watch the episode, but knowing that Cad Bane was coming into it just made me happy, because he is such a dick of a character, but such a cool character.
He's such a cool character in Clone Wars.
Until
I was sitting watching that in my recliner, and then I seen like it shows the flash of somebody walking up the desert, and you can see the hat. And I was just that Leonardo. I was that Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
The whiskey glass and the cigar.
When this came out, I remember talking to people about it, and I said, "Man, it would suck if they brought Cad Bane in just to like kill him off at the end. So they'll probably bring him back for season 3."
I still think he's not dead.
Yeah, he's not
dead. He can't be
dead. Because he still has his droid. And yeah, I don't think he's dead.
Yeah, you don't bring a character like that in to kill him off so quickly. I refuse to believe it. Yeah.
Even if he is old as crap at this point.
He looks good. He's the blue guy. He looks good. All right.
Hey, he's fine.
Jesse.
All right. I think for the next one I'm going to do probably the most misquoted line in all of Star Wars.
I know this one.
Somebody needed to do this.
Yeah.
No, I'm your father.
Yeah.
Yep. The line is not Luke, I am your father.
No.
I'm trying. All right. If you have it pulled up, I'm going to try off the top of my head to remember it, because he says, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. And Luke says, he told me you killed him. And then.
Nope. He says, he told me enough. And then he says, he told me you killed him.
There it is. And then Vader says, no, I am your father.
I am your father. Yeah. He says Luke after that, because I'm pretty sure he says, search your feelings, Luke, you know it to be true. I know he says, search your feelings, you know it to be true.
Yeah.
I don't know if he says Luke there or not.
So,
because then he says, like, no, it can't be, yada, yada.
It's impossible.
Yeah, no.
My favorite story from that line was Luke talking about, or Mark Hamill talking about it. And says that originally it was supposed to be said that, no, Obi-Wan killed your father. And that's how it was filmed. And then that's director and Lucas came up and told him afterwards, well, this is what's really going to happen. We're going to put this in post.
I think that would have been a good twist, too.
And Obi-Wan goes, killed your father. And
they're
he
both
reads
true.
It. He
yeah,
reads
it's technically
it.
True.
He reads the line they're going to have posted in. And he closes it and looks at him. He goes, is this true? He goes, well, search your feelings. And
wait, Tanner, you got it all wrong, Hunter. If I remember correctly, he asked me, he's like, is this true? And then the producer said,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He doesn't say Luke until after that. He says, search your feelings, you know it to be true. Luke keeps saying no. And then he says, he goes into his Luke, you can destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen this, all that stuff. To help try to get him to join him as father and son.
And this is one of those, like, you know, most of the people, like, younger than us especially, like, they kind of grew up with, like, the Luke, I am your father. Like, they knew the spoiler.
Yeah. But not the lie. Well, apparently and, like, Zach Price didn't, because he got pissed when we mentioned it.
Man,
that 20-year spoiler.
I was actually reminded recently, so when I worked at Burger King when Episode 3 came out, the Revenge of the Sith, and they were doing this whole, like, deal with Star Wars where, like, they had, I think it was something like 80 toys, 80
yeah.
different like Star Wars toys.
They were like surprise and random.
Yeah, they're supposed to be random because you got like, so in every box they had five of each of the like six characters, and then they had one Darth Vader per box. So yeah, there was supposed to be like the Darth Vader came in every wave, but it was kind of hard to get. I got three of them because I worked there. And I was reunited with one of them because I gave one.
Goddamn devil.
I gave one to my stepdad and my mom, like, over Easter weekend. She was like, hey, I found this. Do you want it? So now it's in the counter there. Because yeah, and so the point of the story, on the little tag for Darth Vader, like, like on the advertisements, it said, reveal the secret of Darth Vader. And you open up the Darth Vader, and there's a little Anakin inside.
What do you mean there's a little Anakin inside? What, does he have a baby? Like, what?
No, it's like a, it's the, there's the Darth Vader figure, and there's a smaller Anakin inside of it. It's the secret of who Darth Vader is.
Anakin was inside of him the entire time.
Maybe the real Vader was the Anakin that we made along the way.
The point of the story is here that, like, the point I'm getting at, like, that was huge when that movie first came out. Like, this was a major, like, fucking bomb.
I'd say the biggest twist in movie history, I think.
You know that meme that's like, inside you, there are two wolves. Now all I can think of is a tag on the shit that inside this, there is one Anakin.
All right, Shelby. Two more.
All right. I'm moving over to Mando. And the Peli Moss.
Ellie.
I love her. She's fucking nuts. She's also the voice actor for one of the psycho characters from Star Versus, and I love it. But I don't know why, but the scene where she talks about having dated a Jawa.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Like, they're so furry.
So furry. Very, very furry.
Furry. I was like, oh my God.
Well, Jesse is now showing us his Vader, and inside of his Vader is a little Anakin. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. Yes, Shelby, that is a good pick. She is great. Hold on, what is her name? It's off the. She was on Strangers with Candy, wasn't she? And I can't think of
Amy Sedaris.
Amy Sedaris. Yes.
Amy Sedaris.
Yeah. There it is. She's great. Yeah. She was also on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She was really good on that too.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
That's her.
Like, if she does any voice acting, by the way, she doesn't change it. That's just her voice. And
like
it
Steve
will
Bloom.
Always be her voice for everything. Yep.
All right, Tanner C. No, that's too obvious. We'll call him T. Calvert.
Tanner C.
Yeah. So I'm going from with a moment from the Vader comics. It's after Vader has procured the Kyber crystal of a fallen Jedi that he has killed. And he's going to break the crystal, to bleed it. And you see this moment where this crystal of a Jedi is trying to turn him back. And so you get these glimpses of Vader basically cracking himself. And he goes to speak to Palpatine. He tells him, "Now, you know, I got the crystal." And he says, "Good, let me see it." And basically he ignites it, and it's just another blue lightsaber. And he strikes down and kills the Emperor. And he goes and finds Obi-Wan and drops to his knees, begging for forgiveness. And then it flashes back to Vader basically on the ground with a crystal still in his hand. And basically just saying no. And he grabs the crystal and cracks it with his hands. Like, not using the Force, physically cracking it from anger of seeing this, turning it red. And that's where the crystal of Vader's lightsaber comes from.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess they never really did show it, because even in episode 3 he used a blue lightsaber, because mm-hmm. if I'm correct, and I may be wrong, but that was the only time blue ever fought blue, was Anakin versus Obi-Wan, in the movies at least.
Yeah. So yeah. And then so the Jedi he took it from was a Jedi who took the Barish Fowl, which, if Hunter will remember, that's what Krayt had done originally. And that's where I got that story from, was partially from that comic.
All right. You should have mentioned that last night, or the other night, when we did the Insight show on our characters. Double H, number 4.
I only have to say 2 words, and they're actually the same word, and everyone except Shelby will know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, hey!
Hey, hey! Krusty the Clown.
If you're not a big fan of Rise of Skywalker, Shannon said there was barely anything redeeming about it. He also forgot about Babu Frick.
No, there's Bob. All right, so it's not on my list. Name? Yes, look him up. He's the best.
Yeah, Joy, no, don't look him up. Just wait till we get to the movie. It's gonna be great.
Babu Frick.
He's not very often, but famously, Steven Spielberg got to see a version of the film, and his fate was left unknown. And Spielberg went, "But you gotta fix that. That's too big deal to leave out." And so they did. They fixed it. And both of his appearances, he is one of the best things about the whole movie. He's a little alien, and he just talks very funny. And it, to me, he's the, like a really good encapsulation of what's great about like just random, you know, races and aliens and stuff in Star Wars.
Hey,
we all can latch on to just like one little thing from them, and he is a perfect exemplification of that. So,
well, we've kind of had that with all three of the sequels. You had BB-8 that everybody kind of grasped onto from Force Awakens. You had the Porgs in Last Jedi, and then you had Babu Frick. And
they got better as every movie came out.
Now wait a minute, BB-8 is great.
Yeah, R2-D2 was great.
Both right there.
Yeah. So I didn't put this on my list, but since Hunter mentioned the great things about Episode 9, I do want to mention also Zori Bliss, played by Carrie Russell. I was shocked she was in the movie and she had a pretty good role, even though you never saw her face. I just loved that and I loved her. But that actually brings me to my next one, which is I couldn't decide between the two, so I had to put them both on there because it's both just characters and actors that played them. It is Orson Krennic. I cannot remember the actor that played him. I had it looked up here.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Krennic may be my favorite Star Wars villain. There's something about him that...
The slime.
He was so good.
We don't get enough characters like him, because Tarkin doesn't really get to do much of anything except stand around on the Death Star. Right. You never get to see him fight or anything. Krennic has... First of all, I know part of the reason you love him is he's got a battlefront gun.
Oh, that pistol, Yeah, he's got that six-shooter, basically. He gets to interact with Vader.
He exemplifies like a really good high-level villain who's not a Sith.
Right.
Like, he just gets to do more because he's not part of that. He's really just a big, you know, he's high up the Imperial chain.
Yeah.
And we don't get much of that.
Like, he's a really good example of, like, you don't get much of, like, how cool characters can be without the Force in the Star Wars universe.
He was that perfect balance of menacing and slimy. It mattered so much to him that the Emperor knew that this was his idea. To the point
he wanted his credit. Yeah.
He even looked at Vader and said that smug look of like, so you'll talk to him, you'll tell him, you know, personally. And then he starts to choke, and in one of the best, stupidest scenes ever. Vader turns to him with his hand out and says, you know, careful not to choke on your aspirations. Vader hit him with a one-liner.
Critic.
Anyway, and the other thing I was going to mention that I couldn't decide was Ian McDiarmid as Palpatine. Him in episode 5 and 6 were both really good. Him in episode 1 through 3 was fantastic. He was so good as Palpatine. And then that turn in Revenge of the Sith into the Emperor, how much fun he had, the cackling madness. Like, he was perfect. Those movies were made for him, and he was so good. He was the best actor in the entire series.
It's not a story that the Jedi would tell you.
Oh, he's
that whole
so,
scene is just, it's and, so good.
In a so, movie that, that was...
Oh, wait. That, and does that, in the beginning of that movie, when they finally... catch up with him and Dooku, and he's like, good, Anakin, good.
Kill him.
Yeah, just
the very first movie in Phantom Menace, when they rescue Palpatine, and he walks by Anakin and says, you know, I forget what exactly he said, but something like, we'll be, look forward to see what you do. Or,
we have great interest in your,
and you just know, like, the seeds that are being sown there.
Oh, we will watch your career with great interest.
Yes.
I remember, I watched all the movies here recently, less than a month ago, and I hear that line and I go,
It creeps on you. Ian McDiarmid was fantastic. I hate what they did with him in episode 9, even though I'm glad he was back. I don't know. Maybe I need to watch it again and cut it off before the very end. Okay, Lindsay.
My next one is from Solo. Han meeting and befriending Chewie. La, English star Chewie.
I'm on it. I got it.
That's what I just added to the list of stuff I've said wrong that you find hilarious. It's getting longer and longer.
No, it gets replaced consistently because it's on the group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
It's examples of all of our stupid ass shit.
But yes, the beginning of their friendship, like, it's just good.
That whole deal with him.
He's in the pit.
They're at the prison cell thing. Yeah, the pit.
And the fact that he actually knows a little bit of Sheerwook.
That was one of the things I appreciated about Solo, because I wanted to know how he and Chewie met. What I didn't need to know was where he got the name Solo. I hated that part. That was very silly.
He was by himself.
He doesn't have any people. Solo. Otherwise, I love that movie.
Han Solo.
Wait, Shelby, have you seen?
Han Solo.
I took a second for it to click to Shannon. He didn't know exactly what hit him. I totally remembered what hit him.
Let's just go to Jesse.
Last pick.
To answer the question you were about to ask Shelby, no, she hasn't seen Solo either.
Well, then I don't want to say
last
anything.
One.
All right, my next one, I'm gonna do
Mo.
Oh, yeah, because I've got a couple of them on here. I was surprised neither of them got taken. Do the Haldo maneuver
from Last Jedi. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a dope ass scene.
It was, except it killed off Laura Dern.
Look,
it's true. It's also, if there was anything controversial said tonight, like, most of the internet is coming to your house tomorrow to talk to you about this. Howdy, does the internet hate not just that movie, but also that maneuver. Why didn't they do that all the time? Because it's not viable as a thing to do all the time. Never mind. I'm arguing with myself.
Because it's like, you know, looking at it just like as a scene in a film, it was cool as fuck.
I thought it was
like
cool.
How they did the sound, how they did like everything about it, I thought was cool as shit. But yeah, Hunter's absolutely right. The internet hates the sequels.
True.
They hate Last Jedi especially for some reason. Yeah. Because it was different.
Yes.
I'm mad now. Yeah. Let's just go to Shelby. Shelby, last pick. Star Trek.
Mando constantly taking away the shiny bits and pieces from Grogu, whether it be from the controls on his ship, whatever he finds just in his weird floating cradle or around, just stop eating that. Quit putting that in your mouth. You don't know where that's been. What? Stop it. You're just like, give me the shiny thing.
I cannot tell you how many times walking around Galaxy's Edge we saw like dads with kids, and the shirt of course said the Dadalorian. And it was always some version of like Grogu for the kid. Yeah.
Our favorite thing is just calling him Shiny Dad.
Shiny Daddy.
Shiny Daddy.
When he was eating the little frog eggs, though, I felt bad about that.
Thank you, Hunter. Thank you.
All right, Chuki, you're up next.
Chuki.
Last one.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Rey Skywalker. No, I'm going to go with...
Yeah, you're not.
I'm going with Jocasta Nu's death in the comics. Legitimately, yeah. Uh-huh, Shannon, I see you.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just sitting here listening. Yeah.
So she legitimately saved, we thought at the time, single-handedly saved all these Force-sensitive children that had been... I know, Lindsay. that had been listed on these holocrons and different things. And Vader kills her personally because she's such a badass. So, granted, that got changed a little bit. Like, it still happened, but she didn't single-handedly stop it because, you know, Fallen Order happened.
There was another copy.
Yeah, which, Hunter, I don't know if you know, that copy of the Force Sensitives that they destroy in Fallen Order is the...
And it's been a while. Like I said, I don't remember
every individual thing. It's the holocron that they had, basically.
Yeah, it's just a second holocron of what Jocasta Nu had already destroyed. There was a second copy, and they destroyed it once and for all. So Jocasta Nu's story kind of falls in with Fallen Order at the same time, and it's really cool. But here's this old lady who was just the librarian of the Jedi who stands up to the Inquisitors, and it takes Vader to actually kill her.
I'm surprised you didn't mention Yaddle at all.
I was going to say my...
Yaddle's career with great interest.
I was going to say my favorite Star Wars moment was when this young Jedi sacrificed himself for all his friends.
You have to be more specific, man. That's like 800 of them. Shelby,
it's in the handbook at this point.
Shelby, do you know who Yaddle is? Do yourself a favor.
Isn't a Phantom Menace.
Google Yaddle. You'll love it. All right, Hunter, let's go to you for the last one.
All right, this is the one I knew nobody would take because nobody else here has done it, but they will soon, so I can't say too much about it, but... because it is part of Star Wars canon, building my own lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge, because that whole thing sets up that way. So if you go to either version of Galaxy's Edge, East or West, they have the same stuff. Savi's Workshop, of course, is where you can build your own lightsaber. You pick your own parts, you put it together under the tutelage of Savi, the guy who owns the place and is helping you, you know, with scrap metal. First of all, it's kind of cool that when you're walking around, nobody says lightsaber. Hey, where do I go build a lightsaber? They will tell you, like, quietly, oh, you're looking for some scrap metal. Because, you know, the first order is, like, hanging around that area. Like, yeah, it's over there. The entrance to it is actually kind of hidden. Like, you have to go down, like, a little side area just to get to it. And any time that, like, stormtroopers or stuff walk by, they will start, like, covering things up and everything. It's pretty cool. They really treat it like it's, you know, the real deal. And then once you're inside and going through the process, you know, you pick your own crystal, you pick your own pieces, you put it together. Everybody ignites them at the same time. And there's some stuff that happens from that point on, which I will not say for the folks who are going to go there what it is. But it moved me to tears. I'm not going to act like it didn't. And I've heard that from a lot of other people. Sarah and I both were like trying to hold it together. I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down while it's happening. Cause there's a whole, like show moment, basically. People have asked me since, you know, well, should I get that or get a legacy saber, like build your own or just get a legacy one, the one from the movies. And I always say unless there's a specific one you want from the movies, like you really want Mace Windu's lightsaber, or you really want, you know, Ahsoka's lightsabers or whatever. Savi's is more expensive, but it's because you're paying for the experience. And that whole thing is a big part of it. Before you eventually get to, you know, package them up, put them in their little sleeve, so it looks like you're kind of just carrying like a map holder type thing over your shoulder, and you walk out and act like nothing ever happened. It is very, very cool. And for anybody who loves Star Wars, even if you're not a big, like, you know, fan of the Jedi, if you're much more of a person who likes the non-force parts of it, I think you would still really appreciate it. But for anybody who's into that kind of thing, it is 100% a must. And it is one of the Star Wars moments that will always stick with me. So,
so excited to do that.
Well, I have a horsey. Hey. I can't beat that because I don't have those moments. I thought about bringing up the Tales of Galaxy Edge from the VR experience, because playing Star Wars in VR and like actually holding the blasters and talking to the characters and stuff is pretty cool. But I'm gonna instead say that probably my favorite scene in Star Wars from a technical level, like as someone that likes movies and studies movies and stuff like that, the opening to Rogue One, I talk about Rogue One a lot, but the opening to Rogue One where you see the field and, oh God, it made noise. He's playing.
Well, yeah, when you,
kind of loud.
When you ignite it, it goes shoo.
Yeah.
It picks that up, but not this stupid lizard monkey.
Well, this makes a hum, though. Here. That's the thing. It's just like we were talking about. It makes a humming.
Hold on.
And in fairness, it actually did block most of Hunter's lightsaber.
Hold on. Let me try it.
It's too quiet. You got to lift it up because the voice box is in its butt.
Anyway, so the opening to Rogue One is so well shot. The cinematography is amazing. It is the best looking scene in Star Wars history. That's all. I didn't go anywhere to see it. I went to the movies. Lindsay, go ahead.
My final one.
Since I had my entire list taken from me, by the way, that's why.
My final one could have changed the entire story to an extent if it would have only been listened to and followed through. But when Fives discovered the inhibitor chips in all of the clones and tried to pass the information on and got himself killed in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Fives.
His clone number is CT5555.
I'm messing with you. Just like Finn's was
FN2187.
I don't know. I didn't.
We just said it.
Yeah. Well, you said it at the same time, so I couldn't hear it. And now we have to go. So, thank you for we're way over on time here.
All right, well, that was it.
Yeah, happy
that
Star
was
Wars
great.
Happy Star Wars Day.
And I want my monkey lizard back.
Quiet, Chooky.
Chooky, hit the hyperdrive.
I believe Cody Sandusky is actually Chooky.
Oh, well, Cody won't touch this show, not with a 10-foot lightsaber.
Tanner's name is Shiny Daddy. So.
Let's go. Just for everybody out there, for their sake, let's read it off real quick.
Nickname update.
Asa is ASAP's Fables. That's $AP's Fables. Steven is possibly my favorite one. He's Planned Poetry.
Planned Poetry.
That one gets me. Hunter is Guardiana Jones.
I don't remember why.
You tried to say you were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy and Indiana Jones at the same time, and you just put them together.
That's the Guardiana Jones.
Yeah. Casper is Blockchain Missouri. I am Anonymous Pumpkin. Zach is the Ratchalore. What?
It's like The Bachelor, but it's a rat.
Oh, my God.
The Ratchalore.
Cody is Chukin. Oh,
you can't make it through the list.
Bob is the Castlevania election. I don't remember why we got that. Oh, Jesse, you're Stanley Coins, and of course Tanner is Shiny Daddy. That's gonna do it for us tonight. We'll be back next week with all new episodes of your least favorite shows. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week. May the force be with you. Hunter, take us, hit the hyperdrive.
I got nothing, man. Just go.
Just make a Wookiee noise quickly.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Jim.